Cam found out that group chats between different phones aren't private.
Or encrypted.
Or encrypted, thank you. We only text in code.
Yes, which I created. I created a code.
Yes. Which can be a little annoying.
Wait, was that your attempt at the code?
You already forgot the code, didn't you?
I should have written it down.
The place to safely send messages between different devices. WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
Hello, everybody. It is Thursday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joined, as always, by Paul Zeiss for our weekly Zeiss is Right video here on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and Post-Gazette podcast networks. Paul, we're going to get into some Kenny Pickett and some possible sour grapes still coming from the eastern part of the state. Looking forward to getting into that, talking a little Pirates, talking a little Bub Carrington at Pitt, and talking a little bit maybe Penguins offseason as well. Before we do, just want to thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, Pella Windows and Doors. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. All right, let's get into it, Paul. Kenny Pickett's high school coach and private QB coach were quoted this week by NJ.com as basically calling all of the negative narratives around Kenny Pickett BS, basically saying he's beloved by everyone who's ever met and played with him, that he didn't have a bad attitude about the way last season ended or about Russell Wilson coming in. Obviously our Jerry Dulac has reported to the contrary. And apparently that still doesn't sit well with the Pickett camp. Is this sour grapes to you, the way they're still bringing this up, you know, in the middle of the summer here?
You can look at it two ways. It's either sour grapes or it's spin, one or the other. But clearly it's designed to try and make him look better than he probably has over the last 6 to 8 months. With all the reports that have come out, I don't buy it for a minute because I've talked to enough people who actually are in intertwined there that will tell you that he changed at some point during the season, and that it was pretty clear. Again, it was pretty clear that the team would rather have Mason Rudolph or Mitch Trubisky be the quarterback because of the fact that they felt like, they were better locker room guys, better teammates, better, you know, all those things. So I think at this point, I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to spin it in a way that makes Kenny Pickett look better or look good or whatever you want to say. There's still a very loyal group of people in this town who seem to be very, very loyal to Kenny Pickett. And, you know, God forbid if there's a weekend where Jalen Hurts gets hurt and Russell Wilson struggles and Kenny Pickett has a big game, it's going to be the longest week of our lives, I think. But, the reality of the situation is I don't think anybody that's paying attention is buying much of what he's selling. Kenny Pickett clearly, he even by his own press conference in Philadelphia, sort of made it pretty clear that he wasn't happy the way things, he tried not to, but it was pretty clear he wasn't happy with the way things went. So I just think it's spin.
Have you ever seen this much rehab for a guy who's accomplished, frankly, as little as Kenny Pickett has in the NFL? You have this article, you had a lot of his comments, you've had people in Philly, reporting about how great he's looked in offseason OTA and minicamp. Have you ever seen something like this for a guy who basically flamed out with his first team in the NFL? I haven't, and I find it odd that the image thing seems to matter to him so much. Is it ego, or is it just things were so toxic? I'll give him the benefit of the doubt here and say, were things so toxic with so many people in Pittsburgh that, maybe he felt like he had to push back?
I mean, again, there's a group of people in Pittsburgh that were, diehards for him. There's another group of people that you know, just didn't like him. But there was a big group of people who just really didn't care one way or the other. I'll be honest with you. The only thing I can think of that comes close is, do you remember Trey Lance? When he was traded by the 49ers, there was a big to-do about how they gave up on him and didn't give him a chance and all the other stuff. But even that died down pretty quickly once he was traded. I mean, you know, the 49ers just moved on. And this is one of those things where, because of his connection with Pitt, it'll never really 100% be, you know, let's just move on. You know what I mean? Because there's always going to be a group of people in Pittsburgh that keep it alive no matter what happens. But for what he accomplished, it certainly doesn't merit the amount of energy and the amount of time we have spent talking about him.
Yeah, I'd say this about Trey Lance. He was drafted much higher than Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett was, you know, number 20 overall. And so, you know, I think it'd be different if you had that kind of initial profile that Kenny Pickett did not necessarily.
But they even got over that quicker, a lot quicker than people here have gotten over Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Pitt thing is a big deal. Do you buy into any of the talk that he's like a changed man in Philadelphia? Some people out there, for some reason, have even said he's looked better than Jalen Hurts in the offseason workouts. Is that kind of football and shorts crap to you?
I think it's the ultimate spring football story. You know, I mean, it's easy. It's always an easy story to write in the spring, which is, oh, well, the backup looks really, really good. Or whatever, you know, and the ball is coming off his hand. It's sharp. He's sharp. He's this, he's that. Look, if going to Philadelphia helped him, you know, mentally get, you know, dialed in again and helped him clean his plate and all that stuff, wonderful. I'm rooting for him. I always liked Kenny Pickett. I think he's a good dude. So to me, but when I read stuff like that, football and shorts, I just have to laugh because it's like, okay, let's come back to earth.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think the image is going to soften for him? I'm going to use two recent pariahs of Steelers, you know, of Steelers Nation. You had Antonio Brown, who, you know, has just kind of kept digging the hole since he's left Pittsburgh, you know, with his antics. But then you have a guy like Le'Veon Bell, who's kind of, you know, shown some level of contrition and kind of been welcomed back into the Pittsburgh fold to some extent. How do you see things playing out for Kenny Pickett, given that he does have such a Pittsburgh legacy with that ACC championship at Pitt?
I think if he goes on and has a nice career, or, you know, even as a career is like a backup, you know what I mean, where he's a guy that's in the league for a lot of years. You know, time heals a lot of things. So to me, you know, 5-6 years from now, nobody's going to care about, you know, what happened with the Steelers. And if he were to come back, he would be celebrated, you know, mostly for what he did at Pitt. As long as he doesn't take shot after shot after shot after shot and just make himself an insufferable person, you know, my thing is move on. Okay. It's time for everyone to move on. He needs to just focus on what he's doing with the Eagles. Tell his trainer, tell his mom, tell his girlfriend, tell everybody else, tell them all, listen, what's done is done. Let's look forward.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. One last quarterback conversation point here, Paul. Jeremy Fowler from ESPN suggested that, and this is not the first time this has been suggested by someone at the national level, that the Steelers go after Dak Prescott, you know, if things don't work out well with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields in 2025, you know, bring Dak Prescott in here on a big deal. Ray Fittipaldo said on The Fan he doesn't think that's feasible. What do you think? Is he a guy you want if you have to pay him $35, $40 million, you know, minimum and possibly more than that with the way the NFL salary cap's going up?
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
Well, I mean, if Russell Wilson doesn't work out and Justin Fields doesn't work out, you need a quarterback. And unfortunately for the Steelers, that's what the cost of a quarterback is these days. I mean, I think Dak Prescott is a pretty good player. I mean, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. If he's on the market, then you got to try and go get him. Now, you know, if he's on the market, I'm going to tell you, $40 million ain't going to get it. If he's on the market, it's going to be, you better be willing to pay $50 to $55 if you're going to get him. Now, you know, there are some people that would say, well, that's too big of a number. That's too much of the salary cap. That's how the NFL is played these days. And so, unless there's another guy out there like Russell Wilson that you might be able to take a flyer on and get on the cheap, I think you're almost in a position next year where if you're not going to be drafting in the top 5 or 10, which I don't think they will be, you have to figure out how to get a quarterback. And, you know, free agency, okay. Maybe there's a cheaper option, a little bit cheaper option, but I mean, how many more years are you going to try and patch it together? You know, if you go get Dak, now all of a sudden you've got your quarterback for the next, what, 7 years, 6, 7, 8 years? You might as well go get a guy if he's going to be on the market. That being said, I have a hard time believing the Cowboys are going to let him go. You know, they're going to pay him whatever he wants. They're going to pay him. So it's a nice summer talk radio show, talk radio type discussion point, but I'll be shocked if the Cowboys let him walk.
Yeah, I would be too. And, you know, I don't know that the Steelers are ready to commit that much money to a guy who's not their guy. I think it's one thing if it, you know, if Kenny Pickett worked out, I could see them, you know, paying that much on a second contract. if, you know, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields works out, maybe I could imagine that. It's just hard to imagine them making a big free agent splash for a guy who's never been in their building. So we'll keep an eye on that. We're going to get into some Pirates talk here in a second. Before we do, just want to thank another sponsor, Pitt Johnstown. It's a Pitt quality education with up close and personal learning, top ranked Northeast Public College by U.S. News and World Report. Generous scholarships and financial aid are available, located on 655 picturesque acres with easy access to the city center, including shopping and dining. It's a vibrant campus life with an active D2 athlete community. Check out Pitt Johnstown today. Paul, should any prospect be off the table for the Pirates? Because I've seen a lot of pearl clutching already. That, you know, going out and getting Luis Roberts going to cost them Tamar Johnson and maybe one of these solid pitchers. Meanwhile, the guy has like a 750 OPS at high A. Ben Cherington has not developed like an uncomplicated hitter in 5 years with the Pirates. And yet we're supposed to believe that Tamar Johnson is going to be, you know, that guy after all of those, that guys that have been promoted to this point have not been. I'd trade him in a heartbeat, Paul, for almost anything, to be honest with you.
I mean, you and I have this discussion all the time. I don't understand how these people all believe that, you know, they know what Tamar Johnson's going to be, you know, 4 years from now, 3 years from now when he goes to the major leagues, if he goes to the major leagues. I'm with you, Adam. I've had this conversation many times. On the air, you know, on my show with Joe. I don't know that there's one guy in their minor league system that if they traded, I would be like, oh my God. Because I think at some point you stockpiled all these people. You stockpiled all the quote unquote stockpiled all these prospects for 5 years. What are you using them for? And even if it's like, say, Bubba Chandler, right? That's the other name that people lose their minds about if you suggest trading him. Even if it's Bubba Chandler, okay? You have Jared Jones, Skeens, Mitch Keller, and Falter under contract or under control, however you want to say it, for like the next 4 or 5 years. So there's not a whole lot of room for other pitchers to come up. The Pirates every year have shown they can go to the scrap heap and find a Martin Perez or a, you know, Rich Hill or one of those guys to be your fifth starter. I don't understand why. Okay, it's great you stockpiled all these young arms. What, they can't all come up and play. So there's nobody on the list. When I look at the list, there's nobody on the list. And I'd be, well, you can't. I had a guy yesterday tell me, oh, you can't trade a guy who, you know, at AAA or whatever has an F war of this and all this other crap. I don't care. Get guys here this year that can help you win and get to the playoffs when you have your two studs healthy, because that's a big thing. We look back to places, you know, remember when Pryor and Wood were gonna transform the league and take over the league for 10 years? And what happened? You know, you saw what happened with Strasburg. I mean, you're healthy this year. Play for this year, and we'll worry about next year. And I think that's the thing that frustrates me the most. It doesn't mean you're reckless. It doesn't mean you just make trades to make trades. But I don't care about these guys that are prospects because they're not here. They're not helping the Pirates.
Well, and I think a lot of people have convinced themselves, Paul, that because they've stunk for 5 years intentionally like they did in, you know, the Huntington days, that this is going to work out exactly like it did. And you and I talk about this every week, that if you start trading these guys, oh, well, you're going to close the window more quickly. I'm sorry, I look at the minor leagues and I don't see the window, Paul. I see the window is Paul Skeens and Jared Jones. Those are the guys making the window. And to your point, I think you're going to have to take a more year-to-year approach because look beyond Tamar Johnson. There's nothing really there in terms of hitters. And, you know, maybe you'll get lucky and a guy will be a late bloomer and develop. And, you know, someone who's not on our radar now, you know, that always happens, you know, in these situations. But for now, you know, I look at the fact that there's only Tamar Johnson. I said, well, keeping him's not going to fix the whole lack of that the cupboard's mostly bare beyond him. He's not going to fix that. So either you're going to play for the team you have on the field, or you're going to hang all of these ridiculous hopes on one guy that might not be here for two more years. And that's my big hang up, is that this is not the Huntington era where you had guys, even when that competitive window opened, coming up every season. You know, Gerrit Cole came up in 2013. We're not in that situation now. You got to play for now and the next handful of years. And if you want to fire Ben Cherington for that, I wouldn't argue with anyone who says that says, you know, you got a decent team, but someone else has got to lead this moving forward because Ben Cherington's had 5 years and left the cupboard bare. I'm sympathetic to that argument, but I don't think that that's where the discourse is really going.
Right. I mean, I just think that one of the biggest things that drives me crazy about all of this discussion when it comes to the Pirates are the people that are just obsessed with these prospects. And it's like, you know, if all of these prospects were going to become superstars and become great players, right? I mean, the Pirates would have won 7 World Series by now. But the reality is, I mean, this is not how it is. And prospects help you in two ways. One, either they come up and play and become stars, or you trade them and get guys in here. I'll tell you another guy that I would put on the trading block and see if someone is going to be willing to overpay for him based on his potential is Henry Davis. Why not? I'd much rather get a player that I know is capable of playing than deal with a reclamation project that seems like it's a mess. And, you know, if you get the right guy, and that's one of the things about, you know, those kind of deals. I look at the Chris Archer trade. It's not that, you know, Tyler Glasnow went on to do great things, and for a little bit there, Austin Meadows was pretty good. That's not the problem. The problem is they traded for the wrong guy. They traded for a guy that everybody who knew anything about baseball knew was not that guy, right? But if Chris Archer came here and was really good for 4 years or 3 years or whatever they had control of him, and he's really good and he helped him get to the playoffs, nobody would care what Glasnow's doing. Nobody would care that Meadows was decent for a little bit. Nobody would care about any of that stuff. That's the thing to me. If Henry Davis brings you back, say, an outfielder that you can put in your outfield right now that actually is going to hit, you know, with a reasonably good slash line with some power, right? A good OPS who's, and he helps your lineup and he helps you get to the playoffs. Guess what? Nobody's going to care if Henry Davis goes on and becomes an all-star. That's the point. So I think that that's one of the biggest parts of these discussions that gives me a headache is all these people that want to hoard all these prospects and hold on to every single player. You know what? If you can get some for Henry Davis that is good, that helps you this year, go get it.
Well, and I think the big difference between the Huntington era and the Charrington era is that hoarding the prospects has gotten you what? Who exactly? Who do you look at on this roster other than Jared Jones and say that was an uncomplicated development where a young guy came up and performed? And to that point, Paul, because I know you have Derek Shelton on your show with Joe once a week, he's been making this defense that and a lot of other people externally are too, that there are a lot of young hitters that are struggling around baseball right now. League-wide OPS averages are mostly in the mid to low 700s ranges. So there's not a ton, you know, you and I talk about 800 is like, that's a good hitter. Should we be reevaluating that number lower? Should it be 725 as an OPS that you're happy with? And are we too hard on this coaching and management regime for the fact that they don't have more of those guys on the roster?
We're not too hard on them because here's the thing. Even though hitting is down around the league, Adam, if you look at where they're at the bottom of just about every number, you know, and I put some of them in my column the other day, but they're like, I think one, I want to say 14th out of 15 in OPS. They're 15th maybe in batting average. They're like 13th in runs scored. They're, you know, just about every number you could come up with, you know, they are really, really at the bottom. So no, I don't think they get a pass because the rest of the league is struggling. They're struggling more than the rest of the league, you know, and you know, hopefully, I mean, yesterday, they had the last two days, they had a little breakout in Cincinnati. Let's see if that continues. But to me, it's one thing to say the league-wide averages are all down. It's another thing to say we're even worse than everybody else, which is what they're saying right now.
Are you, do you care at all what Ronzi Contreras is doing in LA yet? This is one of those situations. It happens when they do, when players play well in Pittsburgh too. It's like a guy has 2 good weeks and then everyone talks about him like he's going to be an all-star for the next 5 years. And I think it works the same way too, where you let a guy go and everyone wants to panic and say, oh man, Ronzi Contreras, he's going to go out and be awesome for the it's going to be the next Tyler Glasnow. It's been a couple weeks, Paul. That's right. Kind of where I am. Do you have any thoughts on that? Because there's been a lot of discourse around Ronzi Contreras.
I mean, again, it's I don't because I think he got a long stretch, you know, more than a season to try and figure it out here, and he couldn't. And sometimes it's just easier to cut bait and move on. And if he goes out and he has a great career out there, wonderful. But Pirates fans are way too worried about what guys do that aren't Pirates, that be it minor leaguers and be it guys that have been traded, right? Worry about the Pirates. That's what I do. I worry about the Pirates and trying to make the team as good as it can be.
Couple quick hit topics here to wrap up the show. Bob Carrington goes number 14 in the NBA draft. Were you surprised how high he went, you know, Paul, considering that I think his national profile was always, you know, kind of low? Certainly we knew the good work he was doing around here. You know, but I think the national broadcasters always saw him as the number two to Blake Hinson. But obviously the NBA, you know, talent evaluators think that as a young guy, he can really develop into something useful. You know, any thoughts on the Bob Carrington draft?
Well, I saw every mock draft I saw had him somewhere in the 12 to 16 range. So, no, I wasn't surprised that that's where he was picked. You know, one thing that's amazing about the NBA draft, it really is the ultimate. You are just taking a shot at potential. You know, there are some guys at the top of the draft that may be finished products, some of those Euro guys, but for the most part, you know what? for you to go out and get a guy like, for instance, Victor Wembanyama. Those guys are unicorns, you know, and I'm talking about a guy that's really ready to play right now. You're drafting on potential now in the NBA draft, which is why you go through the list of the 32 guys or whatever it is that were drafted last night, right? Probably haven't even heard of 15 of them. And another 10 of them you probably really never saw play or just saw play maybe once in the NCAA tournament or something, because they're all one-and-done guys, or they're guys that are international, or they're guys from the G League. So you look at Carrington, what's the difference between Harrington and Henson? Harrington has a position in the NBA. Henson doesn't. Harrington is what, about 4 years, 5 years, 6 years younger, I think, than Henson. And they're looking at Carrington and saying, listen, this is a guy who's got potential. He's got some good athleticism. He's good. Got some good point guard traits. Reasonably decent shooter that can get better. Why not? I mean, that's the NBA draft now. You're just basically taking a shot in the dark at guys that have potential.
Penguins offseason is going to kick into high gear here pretty quickly. Takes you by surprise because it's usually not this close to the end of the Stanley Cup, but because, you know, ABC dragged it out until the end of June. We're moving right into,
right,
Penguins free agency and all that pretty soon here. Any thoughts generally, Paul, on where the direction you'd like to see this offseason take, whether it's with Tristan Jarry, guys they might trade to bring in here? I've seen a lot of old guy names floated in the last few days that I don't think make the Penguins materially different.
Right. If I'm doing this, I'm trying to dump Jarry, Graves, and Carlson. I'm trying to get rid of those three contracts off of my books and moving forward. That's what I'm probably going to do. And then try and go get, I think they've got a younger goalie in the system. Have him, have him and Ned be your goaltender, tandem for next year. It would be an extremely cheap goaltending tandem. And then go out and try and make your bottom six better, maybe add a defenseman. To me, they've got to get younger. They've got to get faster. They've got to get guys in here that want to play the way NHL is played these days. So you can't do that when you're hamstrung with all these contracts that they're hamstrung with. So to me, I would cut bait with those three guys. Hopefully you wouldn't have to take on any of the money to make those guys go away. But even if you had to take on a little bit, you're freeing up enough cash that you could actually go out and make some moves and change the roster appreciably. If they don't do that, then, we're going to be talking about the same things we always talk about. Bring the band back together. Get them all back here. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key, Paul. I don't think anything's going to change with this team unless they bring in guys that can play the way Mike Sullivan wants to play and that, frankly, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Chris Letang want to play. I think that's been the big problem, is that those guys think they can still play a certain way, and maybe they can to some extent, but the roster around them can't. And, just a lot of stubbornness from that group of four people that either they're going to have to change the roster to accommodate that, or you're just going to have to acknowledge that it ain't 2016 anymore. That was 8 years ago, is as crazy as it is to say. Paul, any final thoughts on the week before we sign off here?
Not really. I mean, it's a slow week. In a couple of weeks, we'll start having a lot to talk about because football will be back and we'll get it going. But right now, it's the slow time of the summer. And so go enjoy the golf course or something.
Absolutely. Christopher Carter was going to be back on the North Shore Drive on Friday. Jason Mackey obviously has his first 10. So if you want more Pittsburgh sports content, make sure you subscribe. And if you like this video, please pop a like on it. Help us out in the YouTube algorithm. We always appreciate that. Until next week, everyone, take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.